Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, found on the page 933 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Now about gifts of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. They are different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. They are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. They are different kinds of working, but all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. The word of the Lord.
I was a sporty kid. My great-grandfather built a cabin in South Lake Tahoe, so we grew up swimming in the lake and kayaking and water skiing. And we did some hiking and camping, and we went back in the winter, and I learned how to snow ski and did a lot of skiing. I was on a swim team for 1 year when I was in elementary school, and I started playing basketball for rec basketball in the same elementary years. And then I played basketball some more, and softball, and flag football in middle school. But for some reason, I thought that I wasn't good enough to play in high school. And so I never joined a team. And that was a mistake. I took myself out of those experiences and missed out on all the benefits that you get when you play on a team sport. I missed also sharing my gifts and talents with others. They didn't get to experience the things that I had to offer. So my potential teammates and I, we both missed out on something special because I didn't accurately measure or value my abilities. While it's good to be humble, it isn't so good to compare yourself to others. As I've mentioned to you all before, comparison is the thief of joy. Let us pray. O Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself, Lord Jesus. It is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. In chapter 12, Paul admonishes some in the Corinthian church for assuming things that weren't true. One, thinking that some spiritual gifts were better than others. Two, thinking that they were better or more spiritual because of the gifts that they had been given. And three, thinking that making others feel less than by comparing gifts is a good idea to build community. Paul nestles this teaching within this letter to highlight a vision of a unified church in Christ that runs from chapter 11 all the way through chapter 14. So I'm trying to set the context a little bit before we dive into the passage so that you get a better understanding of what exactly was happening in the Corinthian church. In chapter 11, Paul highlights improper behavior and corrects abuses that were present in the worship life of the church. It was around head coverings, and they were some missing things on what to do around the Lord's Supper. Factions had arisen in the church because of these issues, and Paul wanted to squash those sentiments. In the opening verses of chapter 12, it appears that divisions are also developing amongst the people of the church when some began to speak in tongues and others prophesied, and in both those instances, the people that had those gifts inferred that they were more spiritual and therefore better than those who didn't. They also took a lot of pride in having one of those flashy gifts. They were filled with their own self-importance, and they elevated themselves over those who couldn't speak in tongues or interpret tongues. And those Corinthians even suggested that they were the only ones who had this Holy Spirit within them. Paul challenged them to change their attitudes, again, because of divisions arising within the church. And those proud Corinthians did that very human thing of inflating oneself by putting others down. This did not engender positive community in the Corinthian church. In the second half of chapter 12, Paul reminds the Corinthians that they are all part of the body of Christ. And while there are many members, there is only one body. You all know that passage, I know. Each part of the body is integral to the whole. No part is weaker or dispensable. No part is better or indispensable. All are valued and all are interconnected. Okay, now you're ready for us to look more closely at what Kyra read for us today. In verse 2, Paul reminds the Corinthians who had moved from pagan beliefs to faith in Jesus Christ that pagan worship had similar elements of spiritual ecstasy in it. And Paul said, just because one is speaking by the Spirit doesn't mean those words are from the one true God. Paul declares the importance of testing the Spirit to ensure that the gift indeed was from God. And in verse 3, we see how to do that. Paul proclaims the first confession of the early church: Jesus is Lord. He affirms that there's only one way to declare this confession, and that is through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So a member of the church who speaks in tongues or has a word of prophecy will also be able to clearly state Jesus is Lord. For it's only when the lordship of Christ is authentically confessed that we know the Spirit is at work. And those who are inspired by the Holy Spirit will speak and act in ways that glorify and honor God. In verses 4 through 7, Paul defines what spiritual gifts are, how they're activated, and for what purpose. All gifts, varieties of services, and varieties of activities come from God and are signs of God's grace. We can't insist that we have any of them due to our own talent, our own work ethic. We can't boast or claim credit for them either. The gifts from God are not put into us to enrich ourselves. They're given by God for the sake of the entire church body. And these gifts are activated by one triune God, one Spirit, one Lord, one God, to equip the saints and build up the body of Christ. Now, the Trinity wasn't expressed as a doctrine until hundreds of years after Paul, but here we see Paul experienced God as Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. And the triune God is the single source of varied gifts, these expressions of divine inspiration, and God gives them all to the members of the church for the common good. And what is the common good? Anything that builds and benefits the community so that it may flourish. God desires a unified, thriving church in Christ. In verses 8 through 11, Paul lists some spiritual gifts that perhaps are ones that the Corinthian church needed. Wisdom and knowledge for guidance. Faith to build trust. Prophecy to point the way forward. Healing and miracles to reflect God's compassion and mercy. Tongues and interpretation of tongues to inspire richer worship. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list. There are two other places where Paul lists gifts, services, and activities in Romans and in Ephesians. Now, we'll have both of these lists come up, but you'll see that on some of these lists, gifts are listed more than once and some are not. But diversity is the point. The body of Christ, the church, needs different people to use various gifts and services and abilities to benefit the entire body. Preachers and teachers enlighten and deepen understanding of Scripture. Cheerful folks offer encouragement. Generous people inspire sharing, all so the church may thrive. I'd love to talk about the flashy gifts for a minute because they may be the ones that we have the most difficulty relating to. Those flashy gifts, this is my definition, it's definitely not Paul's, is speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, discernment of spirits, gifts of healing, and working of miracles. Does the Spirit even give these gifts anymore? Some Christians, cessationists, believe no. They believe that God stopped giving these spiritual gifts at the end of the apostolic age when the New Testament canon was completed. And other Christians, continuationists, believe that all spiritual gifts are still valid and given for the benefit of the church today. Now, 20 years ago, I would probably have been more on the cessationism end of the spectrum. I had never seen those gifts used in a way that seemed authentic. I used to watch those faith healer shows on TV, you know what I mean, and it just seemed fake to me. But then I started attending a church where the Holy Spirit poured out the gifts of speaking in tongues, discernment of tongues, healing, and prophecy. That church has a vibrant healing ministry that some of you might think is woo-woo. Yeah, woo-woo. I thought it was woo-woo. But I started paying attention, and the positive results of that ministry started showing up. People were healed. Miracles happened. People prayed in tongues. People prophesied. God was honored and glorified. And it was about Jesus Christ, not any other spirits. The ministry that I witnessed was real. I myself eventually received prayer, and God provided inner healing of my own childhood wounds that affected my choices as an adult. I was set free from the bondage of my hurts and behaviors through the gift of healing. It was real. It is real. And God deserves all the credit. Has God poured out these spiritual gifts on this congregation? I don't know. But I do know that whatever gifts God has given to the members of this church will be used to point us to God's compassion, power, and to build us up as a community. Now, my very favorite part of this passage comes at the very end. That gifts are carefully and thoughtfully given. It isn't random. The Spirit chooses the gifts and allots them to specific individuals. And I think it's key for us not to compare our gifts and services to another. God has given you your gifts for you to use to benefit all of us. And God has called each one of us to NPC for a purpose. This body has been entrusted with all the gifts that we need. Now, as I worked on this sermon, Leslie's psalm came to mind. She knows I'm saying this, so don't worry. As you know, she'll be retiring at the end of November after faithfully serving this congregation for 20 years as the director of connections. And I think all of us can see the gifts that God has poured into Leslie. Compassion, cheerfulness, ministering to others. And because Leslie is so wonderful in this job, we wonder how we will ever be able to replace her. And let me tell you, we can't. No one will be like Leslie, because no one has the same gifts that she does. God called Leslie to this church for a specific purpose and gave her the gifts that we needed. I trust that God is preparing us for someone new to serve as our next director of connections. God has equipped someone just for this time and place. And if that someone is you, I say this to encourage you. If you are feeling God's nudge to apply to this position, don't be like me and take yourself out because you are comparing your gifts to another. Listen carefully to God's still small voice. This body needs the gifts that God has entrusted to you so that we may grow as a community of believers. Now, throughout this section of 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds the community that it's the gathering of people, it's the community that is what is more valued than specific individuals. But like the Corinthians, we've been led to value individualism over community, and that has led us to dire consequences. Last week, Dr. Hilton drew your attention to a book the session and the staff had read, The Great Dechurching. Now, I recently read through, I didn't read it, I have to tell you that. I read through it, not the whole thing. But the similar book is called Why Religion Went Obsolete by Christian Smith. He is a professor of sociology at Notre Dame. This isn't a theological treatise or a prescription on how to fix things. It is, though, a sociological study of the factors that have caused church attendance to plummet. Smith suggests that the church became irrelevant to Americans by the beginning of the 1990s. And there were a number of reasons for that. If you want to find out more, I encourage you to go to our own wonderful library and check the book out. But there was one particular factor that caught my eye, for it has bearing on our scripture text today. Smith points to the rise of individualism in the evangelical church as one factor. Beginning in the late 1950s, evangelicals started stressing having a personal relationship with God. And that message exploded with the publishing of the influential book, Knowing God, by J.I. Packer in 1973. Now, this emphasis on an intimate, personal, one-on-one close relationship with God was revolutionary. And it also mirrored the rise of individualism so prevalent in our American culture. So by the early 1990s, people started wondering why they needed church at all. If the emphasis is on a personal faith relationship, how does a community help that? If it's just between God and me, why bother going to church? And so many walked away from the pews to the detriment of church life and membership. We all know the dangers that come out of our cultural focus on individualism, the rise of depression, anxiety, and other mental health challenges, the poor effects on our health, the lack of community and sense of purpose. We know it isn't good for us to be alone. We know that we need one another. We need the body of Christ. We need our community. And so God gave us spiritual gifts for the purpose of equipping the saints and building up the church. The Spirit allots specific gifts to individuals to be used for the common good, not for our own individual consumption. So please don't try to sort your gifts grid like Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram assessment. Spiritual gifts do not define you. Spiritual gifts were given to benefit the church, not any of us as individuals. The community, our gathering, is what is valuable. And as individuals, we work together to build up the body of Christ using the gifts that each one of you have been entrusted with. So as we come to the table on World Communion Sunday, let's praise God for how we are connected to other Christians around the world, because we have something in common. God has called us to Himself through the gift of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit has given each of us gifts to use for the health and mission of Christ's church. Don't sit on the sidelines. We need you. We need your gifts. For the body of Christ and our little section of it in Washington, D.C., can only flourish when we use our diverse spiritual gifts and abilities to build a deeper and richer community. One that where we find blessing, healing, compassion, and love, all for God's glory. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you that you have gathered us into the body of Christ and equipped us to use the gifts we have been given to bless and honor our fellow brothers and sisters. Lord, give us courage to act, to not sit on the sidelines, and to use the gifts we've been entrusted with for your good, the good of the church, and most especially for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprayers.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.